Hey, good day, everybody. This is Gene Javell here, Country USA. Here's a great one from Brooks and Dunn. She ain't the cheating kind, let me tell you what.
She's dressed to kill in a dress he bought her. She wouldn't care if he walked in and caught her. She's come to the dance, a dance or two, and do no telling what by the time the night is through.
All right, Brooks and Dunn here. Gene Javell here, Country USA. Do you love that song or not? I love that song. That is coming in number one here on the Gene Javell Memory Chart here for this beautiful, beautiful Wednesday here in Gene Javell Country in Nashville, Tennessee. Boy, I tell you, I want to thank Brooks and Dunn, by the way. They were out at the Gene Javell Country Fair, a big charity event we have every year. And Brooks and Dunn were there. They're helping raise money. And I want to say to them personally, thank you very much. I'd also like to say to them personally that I very, very much regret that we did not have an accounting right there. Is that right, Bob?
Didn't have the right one.
Didn't have the right accounting at that time. And it turned out that the both of the gentlemen found me with money in a briefcase that I was taking and trying to put into the trunk of my car before anybody could see what I was doing. And at that time, Brooks, I think it was Mr. Brooks, or it could have been Mr. Dunn, you know.
Well, about the same thing, right?
It felt the same. Mr. Brooks came over and hit me with the right hand. Pretty good shot right to the right side of my jaw. And then as I dropped, he hit me with a cowboy boot. He just brought the boot up, just that pointy toe boot to the soft of the neck. And I don't know if you've ever been kicked in the throat with a cowboy boot with that pointy toe. But I can tell you, it really does choke you up. It choked me up more ways than one, let me tell you that.
Yeah.
And so he kicked me, and then I think it was Brooks who came along, put me in a headlock, and that's when he hit me two good shots in the jaw. As you know, you get somebody in the jaw, or hit me in the nose, too. That'll knock you right out. And I was blacking out. I was kind of browning out and blacking out. And then Brooks came over again, grabbed me by the nose, lifted me up by the nose, hit me again with that cowboy boot right in the Adam's apple, so I had a very difficult time breathing. And then Dunn came along, belted me in the gut, hit me a couple of shots in the back, hit me a couple of kidney shots, took my head then and drove me full force right into a brick wall that just happened to be off the side there of my Cadillac where I had it parked. My head actually did go through the brick wall, not through it, but it did crack a couple of the mortar bricks there, the mason bricks, and I dropped and I started to get up again with the suitcase under my hand, under my arm rather. I had the money there in the suitcase, and that's when Mr. Dunn came along, grabbed the suitcase and grabbed my head again, and then drove my head into another mason block that comprised that wall. And at that point, I did begin to brown out. I will say, and I'm very proud of this, I did not black out entirely, but I did brown out quite a bit. So I do, again, thank Brooks and Dunn for that little bit of lesson there in larceny as I tried to make off with the money from the charity event there the other night. Here on the Gene Javell Show, here, this is Country USA. Sam, what do you say we get out on the highway right now? Are you on your way to work, huh? Well, I tell you what, Craig Morton's got something to say to you. Don't lean on that horn, friend. Just say hello to the man there in the International Harvester, y'all.
I'm the son of a third-generation farmer.
Ew!
I've been married 10 years to the farmer's daughter.
Yeah.
I'm a God-fearing, hard-working combine driver, hogging up the road on my plower, chugga-lugga-lugging 5 miles.
All right, everybody together now here this morning. On the International Harvester. I'll tell you what, I love that music so very, very much there with... Oh, yeah, Craig Morton here, International Harvester. Good morning, how you doing?
Hey, good morning, Gene. I happened to witness what happened between you and Craig Morton. You going to tell that story?
You better be Craig Morgan, not Craig Morton, not the football player.
No, you're right. Craig Morgan, because I was there at the Tuskegee Fair.
Well, that was Tuxedo County. Tuxedo County.
Yeah.
Tuxedo County. Thank you very much for your call this morning, sir. Yes. At Tuxedo County, I was there, and I was, again, hosting a charity event. Craig Morton came there, and Craig was there with the International Harvester people, and I had made a comment about his wife. She was a very, very fancy-looking and good-looking woman. It still is. As a matter of fact, I hope they're still married. I hope they're very happily married. Or it might have been his girlfriend. I don't know. But I made a comment about her backside. Now, I know it's kind of rude. You make a comment about a woman's backside. It's one thing to make a comment about a woman's breasts. But I made a comment about her very, I would say, prominent backside. And that's when Craig said to me, would you like to go outside and take a look at my sponsor? And I said, you mean the International Harvester people? He said, yeah, just stand there. Now, he walked down about 20 yards. He got into an International Harvester tractor and drove it straight at me. Now, I started to run. I didn't know what he was doing. I thought he was drunk. I thought he was crazy. I ran, but he did catch me with the bucket on that thing, kind of like a bobcat bucket, lifted me up and then dropped me. I mean, he just let that hydraulic go and dropped me, and I hit the ground, I'd say about 30 miles an hour, and fell right on my backside. I started to try to get up. I was woozy, and then they brought the bucket down on top of my head. So it was one, two down, and then the bucket came down on my head. He got out of the International Harvester. He said, "You got anything else you want to say about my wife?" And at that time, or he said, "Girlfriend," I forget what it was. You know what, Bobby, what it was?
Well, you say what it was?
I mean, what she was.
I know I don't.
Well, I'd said, well, if you want me to say so, I said she's got a great rear end. I said she's got big ones up front. I said she looked like she could take it off a trailer hitch, I should say, all the things you would say in a golf ball through a garden hose. I said just about everything a man can say, not knowing that Craig does not have the best sense of humor, and that's when he went ahead and kneed me in my testicles.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. No, he kneed me in my testicles. Then he grabbed me again. He headlocked me the same way Brooks and Dunn did, but he did a very interesting thing. It was almost like a wrestler move where he had me around the neck, and he also had the top of my head, and he did one of those atomic slams. He went up in the air. I'm coughing a little bit. I hope a lot of you folks out there this morning, of course, are going to be driving carefully, because we know with all this congestion, you're going to have a really bad air. But anyway, I'm going to get back to the music here. I just want to say he did an atomic slam. He went down, landed on his butt, but at the same time, he had his knee right under my testicles, under the scrotum. And, excuse me, as we went down, and the knee drove right clean up into the scrotum. So did it hurt? You better believe it hurt. And was it a lesson learned? You better believe it was a lesson learned. Let me tell you what, I think it's time for me to get out on the road here. Gene Jabel here, Country USA.
Well, I pulled out of Pittsburgh, rolling down that eastern seaboard. I got my diesel wound up, and she's running like I never before. There's a speed zone ahead, well, all right.
Everybody.
I don't see a cop in sight.
Come on now.
6 days on the road, and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 6 days on the road, I'm gonna make it home tonight. Boy, I tell you what, you really do want to make it home. You out 6 days on the road, you really do want to make it home, especially if you got somebody like Craig Morgan after you, or even Dave Dudley for that matter. I tell you what, that can be a scary thing. This is Gene Jabel, Country USA. We're gonna be right back, y'all.
I'm buddy Little Willie Hickson here. Little Willie Hickson gonna be at the Willie Hickson Blues Parlor. I played a banjo, I played a stand-up bass, I played a gut bucket, and I get up there and I've got a monkey to hop around on the end of a leash. That's right, I played an organ grinder. I'm the only organ grinder in Nashville, Tennessee. I do a country organ grind act, if you will. I hope you come out there to the Willie Hickson Blues Parlor. I'll be out there. Gene Jabel will be hosting a couple of the shows. Gene will be bringing out mostly the monkey act. I want y'all to know that I respect and I love Gene, but I will only trust him introing the monkey act. All the heavyweight blues and all the heavy country stuff, I intro myself. Gene, I hope you don't mind that. Anyway, Willie Hickson here. I'll be the Willie Hickson. I'll be at the Lily Willie Hickson Blues Parlor. Willie. And I'm Lily Willie, the Willie Hickson Blues Parlor here in Nashville, Tennessee, y'all.
Yeah, Lily Willie Hickson. Willie, I tell you what, man, I hope we see you real, 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 real soon. Hey, let's slow it down a little bit here. Gene Jabel, Country USA, Dickie Lee, and a oldie.
I met Lori.
Oh, I'm scared now, man.
So lovely and warm.
Yeah.
An angel of a girl.
Lori.
Last night I fell in love.
Now, you know the story of this song, don't you?
With Lori.
Everybody. Strange things happen in this world. I'll tell you, strange things do happen in this world. Gene Jabel here, Country USA. There is the great Dickie Lee and Lori. I met Dickie Lee, and he had brought to me a man by the name of William Presco. You remember William?
I do.
William was a wonderful man. This is a man who had lost his daughter. He'd lost his daughter in a trucking accident of some kind. It was a lumber truck, and the lumber had slid out the back of the flatbed of the truck, and it had caved in on a car that they were following in very, very close behind. Horrible accident. A man had lost his daughter, and Dickie had introduced this man to me, and I said, well, did you lose your daughter in this act? He said, yes, I did. I said, I'm very sorry to hear that. I said, and as a joke, I said, you know, last night I went to a dance, and I met a girl, and he told me what his daughter's name was, and I said,
You didn't do that, did you?
Oh, come on. I said, I danced with a young lady by that name, and I thought of bringing her home to you, but I thought I knew it was going to happen. You say your daughter died, and I took her to the graveyard. I went ahead and buried her there anyway, because I knew that that's where she belonged. Now, I thought that was very, very funny, and he said, you think that's funny? I said, I sort of do. He did a Three Stooges. He fainted with the two fingers like he was going to lay them into my eyeballs. And I thought, woo, you know, this is a lot of fun. I said, where'd you find this guy, Dickie? This guy's great. By that point, Dickie had retreated. He had backed up over toward a lemonade stand that we had there. And he was just going to get himself a lemonade and see what transpired. So I realized I was on my own. And this man tried to faint. He fainted like he's going to do two fingers into the eyeballs. But then he grabbed me by the nose. He hooked me with those two fingers in each nostril. And he brought my face, the full of my face, right down on a knee that he was driving up with equal force. I'd say that knee, at the point that it hit my face, was doing a good 35 to 40 miles an hour. There's no question in my mind. If I'd had a clock on it, I swear to Almighty God, if you could imagine your face going to a guy's knee that's going 40 miles an hour, it doesn't feel good, I can tell you that. And I looked up in the mirror and I said, that was a good one, man. That really was. I looked at him, I congratulated him, I shook his hand, I looked in the mirror, and when your face is flattened by a man's knee, you look almost ape-like. You've got the nose is sticking up like you're a monkey. And I went, man, you put a monkey, I said, you put the monkey on me. He said, I haven't even finished. He said, I'm going to go ape on you. I said, you put a monkey on me, you go ape? He said, it's called Bakersfield Chimp. And that's when he grabbed me. And he began to, I would say, in a pile-driving motion, just repeatedly, boom, 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 my head into a metal post that was there just underneath the grandstands there at Waukegan Coliseum where we had seen the show. And I dropped, and I started to stagger to my feet. And I said, where are the proceeds from the show tonight? Because I was making a joke. I said, where are the proceeds from the show tonight? Because I want to make it to my car and try to get away from this sucker. And that's when he grabbed me again. Boom, 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 into the post. I slid down again. I started to stagger to my feet. He hit me with a gut shot, hit me with another kidney shot. He took my head and started to twist it. And I started to kind of, in a fake way, go, like it was hurting me, but it really wasn't. Well, it was hurting me, but by that point, all the pain had gone because I think he'd severed some nerves, and I think the spinal cord was really injured. And I couldn't feel my hands, I couldn't feel my feet, and that's when he just laid me there. And he took what looked like a desk. And when I say it looked like a desk, I couldn't imagine lifting up a desk, but he lifted the desk up and he dropped it on me. He dropped it in the small of my back and then picked it up again, dropped it at the large of my back, and then picked it up again and he dropped it on top of my head. And that's where I learned my lesson. I said, boy, but don't you ever, don't get between a dog and his meat. And sure as hell, don't start making fun of a man's daughter if she's had a lumber truck back into her and kill her the very night before. Don't start making jokes about how you went dancing with her. And woo, she wanted my jacket and I put it on her gravestone. Here is Dolly Parton and Porter Wagon.
Please, please, don't stop loving me.
Yeah, yeah.
For I couldn't live with you gone.
This is the Ginger Bell Country USA Show.
Please.
Ginger Bell Country USA Show. Jane talks about all the great country artists that have beaten him and beaten him badly, put him in either a wheelchair, on a stretcher, in a hospital bed, or in intensive care. Ginger Bell will talk about great artists that have beaten him until he peed blood. And he'll talk about more coming up later on in the program with the Ginger Bell Country USA Show. Yeah.
You bring me.
Hi, Ginger Bell here, Country USA. I hope you all having a very, very good morning. Looks like we're going to have ourselves a cloudy day, and there might be some rain. It could be breaking through with sunshine a little bit later on. Hey, here on the Ginger Bell Country USA Show, you know, every single song is a dedication to you. We don't do dedications because every song is a dedication to you. All y'all out there, I hope you're enjoying today's show.
Hi, we're Willie Hickson here, and I'll be at Willie Hickson Blues Parlor, sponsored by the Ginger Bell Country USA Show.
Hey, everybody, Ginger Bell here. As you know, they don't allow me to introduce the country acts and the blues act, but I will be introducing the monkey act. They've got a little monkey. He's an organ grinder. There's a man there. Got a little bit of an Italian mustache. I think that is you, Willie, isn't it?
That's right.
So Willie does an Italian, he does a country organ grinder act. I will introduce that. I'm not allowed to introduce anything else. But I can tell you this right now, but if he gives me a hard time, especially the monkey give me a hard time, I've already had the Bakersfield chimp act. I've already had the ape act. I already had someone put monkey on me, you know. I've seen you with monkey. Let me tell you what, when a man takes your face and drives it right into his knee, you do go monkey. Willie Hickson and the Blues Parlor in downtown Nashville. Dinner and dancing starts at 8.
I'm Willie Hickson. I have a great time. I play the banjo. I play the tuba. I play a French horn. I play a mandolin. I play a fiddle. I play country music. Understand that I play country music. No question I play country music. But I play it with all of those instruments. I'm the first guy in the history of country music to play authentic country music with a French horn.
All right. I'll tell you, I love Willie Hickson. Willie's one of my favorites. And, Willie, we're going to be out there looking at you this coming Saturday night. We'll be hosting out there Gene Jabel, me, and, of course, I'll be there with the Jabelettes. And the Jabelettes and Gene Jabel there for the Willie Hickson Blues Parlor and Country Parlor. It's a great time. Bring everybody out there. It's bring Grandma out there. And don't forget, you know, Mother's Day is coming up. Mother's Day is a great, great time to bring out Mama or Grandma or Little Ma or, you know, whoever your mama is. You know what I'm saying? Hey, this is the Sea of Heartbeat.
The lights.
Yeah.
Harbor.
Don Gibson, y'all.
Don't shine for me.
Memory time.
I'm like a lost ship.
Country, USA.
Adrift on the sea.
Everybody now, here we go.
This sea of a heartbreak, yeah. Lost love, loneliness. Memories of your crest.
Let me take a phone call here. Hey, Gene Jabel, Country USA, how are you?
I'm doing very well. I was wondering if I got to ask you not to sing in the song because you ruined the song. You're flatting, you know?
Thank you very much for your phone call, and it's great talking to you.
No, but you're flatting.
Lose you.
Yeah. Don Gibson, I tell you, I've got a history with Don Gibson going a long way back. That is a great man, a great country artist, and that's called See a Heartbreak. Right here, Gene Jabel, Country USA show here a little bit after the hour. I want to tell you about Don Gibson because he is a man who I just think is one of the great, great country artists, great songwriter, great man, and a guy who is very, very dedicated. You know, we heard Dolly Parton, Porter Wagoner back there, and Don was with Dolly Parton, Porter Wagoner, as we were doing our big Gene Jabel 7th anniversary show right out here at Nashville Coliseum. And I'll never forget when Dolly came out, I made a comment about how big her breasts are, because if you've seen Dolly Parton, you know that her breasts are huge. They're enormous. And you can't but help wish that you had one of those or both of them. And I say this with all due respect to Dolly, both of them in your mouth. And I said that, and maybe I shouldn't have said that. Don was there with his wife and daughter. In fact, his daughter is under the age of 10, and I looked down at her and I said, excuse me, honey, but I have to say I would love to have Dolly Parton's boobs in my mouth. And that's when Don said, you know what, I've known you a long time, Gene, and I usually would give you a warning, but that was so inappropriate and so crude, I don't think I will. And he picked up what looked like a stapler. I'm not exactly sure what it was. It was some heavy metal object. Were you there, Barry?
Yeah, that was a stapler. It was a paperweight. It was a Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, that's right. It was the Lincoln Memorial. It was a paperweight of the Lincoln Memorial. He picked it up, and he almost like he was throwing it, but it never left his hand. He crashed it into the side of my skull, and some people later claimed that they actually saw my skull diminish by about a half an inch as the entire side of my skull went in. Blood began to come out of that ear, and then I had matted blood in my hair. And as I staggered away, I looked at him, and with all honesty, I said, all I was doing was talking about something that any man would, and he didn't bother. He took the paperweight again, and this time smashed it into my face. Now, understand, this is only 2 weeks after. It was only 2 weeks after, I believe it was Dickie Lee or Dave Dudley had put Monkey on me, which is the when he flattened my face.
Yeah, put your face in the pile.
He jammed my face right into the side of that metal pole, so I'd already had Monkey on. Now I get this paperweight into the face, and I wasn't very understandable after that because there was blood clotting in my mouth and my lips were swollen. So it was something along the lines of, why don't you go to hell? You know, something like that. I'm not trying to be funny, although it was very, very funny. I was laughing, and I was the guy getting my ass kicked. I was laughing, and I was the guy getting my head crushed and my face caved in by this big, heavy, had to have been about a 5 or 10 pound Lincoln Memorial paperweight that Don Gibson had picked up. But I said, blah, 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 blah. You know, does it sound like that?
Yeah, it's down there.
I'll tell you, right. I said, blah, 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 blah. He hit me again with a paperweight. I dropped to my knees, and that's when I was boot level, and he hit me right between the eyes with the toe, and you can understand that's a very, very difficult kick, so it was almost like a martial arts kick. He lifted the knee up and flexed that foot back and forth, hit me right between the eyes with the toe of that heavy metal boot, of that cowboy boot with the metal tip on it, and it actually did put an indentation. It broke the top of my nose and cracked my skull between my both of my eyes, and cracked the skull so severely that my eyes began to point in, so I had crossed eyes for about 2 weeks as the plastic surgeons went to work to try to wire my head back into the right shape that it was supposed to be in. Because after Don had gotten done with me, he'd smacked me around so much that my skull, it was not lined up. It was not, the perspective was off. People had a hard time lining me up. They would walk up, excuse me, they would walk up and they'd try to shake my hand, but they didn't know who or what to look at because the perspective of my head was off, and it was almost as if there was the third dimension was missing. So in any event, that's what was happening there. And I said, I gotta just say, I'm sorry, Don. I didn't mean to say that about Dolly Parton's huge, enormous breasts with your 10-year-old daughter there. And I hope you forgive me. And he said, no, I don't think I ever will forgive you. And I went, ha ha ha. And as I had my mouth was open as I was saying, ha ha ha. That's when he took what looked to be an athletic sock, and I didn't know this, but he'd been soaking it in kerosene, and he jammed it into my mouth. He lit it very slowly, and he held my jaw shut. And keep in mind, I'd just come from the plastic surgeon. I'd had my skull wired sort of together. I still needed work. I still do now need work. Doesn't my head...
Your head's a little bit off, yeah.
My head's still off. But he held my mouth shut as this sock burned inside my head, basically. And smoke was coming out of my eyeballs. I gotta tell you, it must have been a sight. It was a sight, I'll tell you that. It was a sight for those guys. I couldn't see because the smoke was pouring out of my eyes. Hey, here's Frankie laying out the sound of Rawhide! Yeah! Gene Jamel here, Country USA. Yeah!
Ha!
Well, this reminds me of some good times.
Rolling, rolling, rolling. Oh, the streams are swollen.
Keep those women rolling, right?
The wind and weather.
Take a phone call. Hey.
Yes, sir. I wish that you wouldn't sing. You're ruining the songs when you sing.
All right. Thanks for calling Gene Jamel, Country USA.
I didn't want to call Gene.
She's weeding at the end of my ride. She better be weeding because that front yard is a mess. Huh? Gene Jamel, Country USA.
Ride him in, cut him out.
Cut her out. Ride her in. Get on her and ride her. That is a great song. That is the great Frankie Lane, the late great Frankie Lane there with Rawhide here on a Gene Jamel. This is Country USA for this beautiful, beautiful Wednesday.
Hi, Willie Hickson here with the Blues Parlor. Willie Hickson, I hope you come out and see the Blues Parlor. The sponsors of the Gene Jamel Country USA show.
Thanks a lot, Willie, and I am Gene Jamel. I will be hosting at least partially part of the Willie Hickson Blues Parlor this coming Saturday night. Bring out the loved ones. Come on out. Have yourself a great time. Great buffet. We got that prime rib, slow roasted all day long. And, of course, cocktails for yourselves and the Shirley Temples, the little Roy Rogers, the little tiny kids. Come on out there to Willie Hickson Parlor. Come on out and enjoy yourselves. I'll be there for the first two shows that are featured. That's the Organ Grinder with the Monkey. And that's all I get to do. And then I leave. I am ordered out of the club.
That's right, everybody. Willie Hickson here. I want to assure you that Gene is ordered from the club as soon as he's done introducing the Organ Grinder. We do not want him in the club because we know he's had some problems. But I believe a man can come back from his misfortune, and I'm there to help him every step of the way.
Thank you. Willie Hickson's Blues Parlor, Saturday nights in Nashville. Hey, buddy, Gene Jamel here, Country USA. I'll tell you something. There is nothing like a great Frankie Lane song, nothing like that Rawhide when you're especially thinking about some of the great ladies. And we had a charity event for Frankie Lane. This was for the Frankie Lane Charities young lady who had been associated with him. And I really wanted to do something special. And they said, well, we don't really know who you are, so we'd rather not be affiliated with you. And that ended our association with the Frankie Lane Charities. I said, but can we sing the song Rawhide? And I got the rights to sing the song. At a charity event that we would have a week later. We'd say that was the Rawhide charity event, and we'd say, roll 'em, roll 'em, roll 'em. Now, Bob Catton, who is our general manager here, has got a beautiful daughter. She's 16 years of age. She is a little bit overweight, and I said, I know exactly what I think we can do. And I said, Bob, with your permission, I'd like to have your daughter out on the stage. And so we brought her out that night, and I had her on all fours, and I was flogging her with a piece of Rawhide, going, yeah, yeah, lifting her skirt up and whapping her there on the big butt and going, yeah, Rawhide. Hi, buddy, Gene Jabel. And it was a part of the act. Now, Bob came out and said, you better stop that now, or I don't care if I'm in front of 20,000 people. And I said, is that how many are here? He said, yeah, and that's because we had to paper the house, and that means he gave away tickets. I said, well, because of that, because you're telling me that in front of all these people and embarrassing me, I lifted his daughter's skirt up, flogged her a few more times with this Rawhide, and that's when he grabbed me by my hair. Now, a lot of you haven't seen me, a lot of you haven't met me, but those of you who have met me, you know that I have beautiful, long, golden hair. I have shoulder-length hair. When I tie that back in a ponytail, I'm balding on the top. But before you start making your comments, it looks good on me. There's a lot of guys that don't look good on, but it looks good on me. He grabbed me by my ponytail, and he began swinging me around the stage. And as he swung me around a third time, he swung me perfectly right into a fist that he just was holding up in the air. And I came around, and I'll never forget, I heard myself. You've ever been in a situation where you hear yourself? I heard myself go, "Brog!" like that, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly what it sounded like.
It did, didn't it? And I said, I was only kidding, Bob, blah, like that. And he kept on grabbing me by the hair. He had me by my ponytail, just bang, bang. So you can imagine having my guy's head by the ponytail, and you're just using it. It's almost as if you're knocking all the dust out of a rug, right? Only my face and my head is the thing you hit the rug with to get the dust out of it. And it's not hitting a rug, it's hitting a face. So it's just going, burg, blog, you know, like that. And I heard myself, and I said, "God damn it, Bob, I'm sorry if I offended you." He said, "Offended me? You were beating my 16-year-old daughter on the ass with wet rawhide in front of 20,000 people." I said, "Hey, you know, sue me or something." I made something I thought was very, very funny. I said, "Sue me, or what do you want from me?" And he said, "Here's what I want from you." And that's when he grabbed me by my, you know, testicles again. This would be the second time in about 6 months that a guy was going to go for my testicles, went straight for the nuts, if you pardon me for saying that. We got an old saying like that. I'm an old Arkansas boy, and we call that, let's go for the heated nuts. And that's exactly, excuse me, that's exactly what he did. And he lifted me up by my scrotum. Now, I've never had that done to me before. It was painful, but while it was painful, it was also very interesting. I was fascinated by the fact that I was being lifted, and the only thing that he was lifting me up by was my scrotum and my two testicles. And he began to spin me around. Now, imagine holding on to something and then spinning something that's connected to it. So I was spinning around and around and around, but my testicles were in one position. Hurt? God damn, you bet it hurt. It hurt bad. It hurt real bad. And my hat's off there to Bob Catton, who's our general manager out here. Hey, this is Country USA, and my name is Gene Jabel. Here he is, George Jones. Can't beat White Lightning.
In North Carolina, way back in the hill. Hey. Near my old pappy, and he had him a still.
Yeah.
He brewed White Lightning till the sun went down.
Yeah.
And jug and it pass it around.
George Jones there ripping off a little Chuck Berry. Johnny Be Good. You've heard Johnny Be Good. Well, that was George Jones stealing that lick from Chuck Berry. You know, I sent that to George Jones. It was a fantastic, I'll tell you, there's nobody like George Jones in the world. George Jones, one of the great, great, great country artists. And we were backstage at the Sluggo Festival, you know, the Sluggo Country Festival there in Arkansas in Little Rock, my hometown. And I said, "George, I'll tell you, I've heard a lot of people lift Chuck Berry licks, but I've never heard anybody so blatantly steal Johnny Be Good like the way you just undid that." And without warning, he cracked his guitar down on top of my head. I mean, he brought the guitar down as hard as he could. It busted down over my head, and the strings of the guitar, which were still attached obviously to the neck and to the body of the guitar, the strings were stretched over the top of my head. So everything had busted down over my head. The sound hole fell apart, and I had the strings that were still attached to the neck and to the body of the guitar. George took both ends of those strings. He snapped them off of the neck, snapped them off the body of the guitar, and then he grabbed me around the neck with them and began to strangle me with the guitar strings while he was repeatedly driving his knee into my balls, into my gut, into my balls, into my gut, over and over and over again. I said, "Man, that is a beautiful thing you're doing there, George." He said, "Do you think so?" That's when he headbutted me. So he used the strings of the guitar to headbutt me, and painful, God damn, it was painful. But I'll tell you what, I think I learned my lesson the hard way. That's, and I said, right, "You know what? I will never accuse you of ripping off Jay." He said, "I don't mind you accusing me of ripping off another musician, but he's black, you know. You're telling me that I ripped off a black guy." I said, "Well, I know how you're feeling. I know you're resisting using the N-word." He said, "You better believe it." I said, "Well, but you did do that." And he said, "You know what? You still don't get it." So he grabbed a frying pan that happened to be there, because we were in the at that point in the mess hall there of the auditorium. He grabbed a frying pan, and he hit me a forehand, a backhand, a forehand, and a backhand until there were basically no teeth left in the right side of my mouth, and the right side of my jaw had unhinged. So I had no teeth and my jaw hanging off, and the only thing that was holding it there was the skin on my face, you know. And if you've ever seen my face, there is a whole lot my face can do other than maybe hold my jaw in place for about 30 seconds, which was the case. Here's George Jones. Yeah.
Whisper, "Oh, I love you." But now.
All right, this is Country USA, and you're listening to The Gene Jabel Show here at Country USA, and we'll be right back right after this big announcement. My good friend Phil Henry. Phil? All right, thanks a lot, Phil. Back here, The Gene Jabel Country USA Show here with George Jones. Let's take the grand tour. I'll tell you something. When you talk about the Grand Tour, it reminds me of a very, very special guy, a wonderful guy, one of the great country promoters in this great land of ours, Bobby Cossack. And Bobby was a guy who he never met anybody he didn't want to do a favor for. And we were doing a special charity function. We were in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and we had just heard that great song, The Grand Tour, as sung by George Jones. And I know that Bobby, if he were here today, he would say the same thing he said to me that night. When we heard that song, The Grand Tour, Bobby had a beautiful daughter who had just gotten married to a very, very prestigious politician in Washington, D.C. I forget his name, but Bobby's daughter, her name was Bezaline, a beautiful, beautiful girl. And I said, boy, I'd love to take the Grand Tour of her, all 69 states. And that's when Bobby looked at me. He said, I can't even believe that you said what you said. I said, what did I do? Now, at the time,
that was bad.
I knew it was bad, but at the time, I thought it was funny. I always went for funny over bad. I always went for ask for forgiveness, not permission, huh? Isn't that right? So I said, boy, I would love to take the Grand Tour of your daughter. She was a 31-year-old woman, so let's be honest here and reasonable, that it was entirely appropriate, at least it was age appropriate. I said, I'd love to take the Grand Tour of her, all 69 states. And he said, around the world? I said, yeah. As a matter of fact, Bobby, yeah. He said, that's all I needed to hear. He had a toaster there, and I remember because we were making English muffins, and we just gotten up, and it was a buffet there in the hotel, and he plugged the toaster in, and he turned the toaster on, basically pushed that little push thing down, right? And he took my hand and jammed it into the toaster until I could literally feel my flesh burning and searing, and also there was a low-level electric shock going through my hand, and he held my hand in that toaster, then he pulled my hand out of the toaster after it had been cooked and seared, third-degree burns. He began to just slather on butter, put on some, I believe it was it?
That was the strawberry.
It was that delicious strawberry jam, not the delicious matters. He put on the delicious strawberry jam over that hand. Then he put it between two pieces of Wonder Bread, two just white. I said, boy, there's no nutrition in that, Bobby. He said, still making the jokes, huh? I said, you know, I go down with the ship. So he said, okay, great. So he lifted up my hand with the two pieces of bread wrapped around it, and he took a bite that severed the ends of the two bigger fingers. So I lost both of those fingers. He took a bite, and he chewed my fingers and swallowed them. And then as he was staring me and the blood coming out of his mouth, chewing on my fingers, and I was looking at him with shock and horror, he said, okay, perfect. And he was saying this through a full mouth because he's chewing on my fingers and swallowing. He says, okay, perfect. You're in the perfect state of mind. This is exactly what I need. And that's when he took two very, very large, heavy, looked like shot puts, but I know they couldn't have been shot put.
I've got the ball bearings in that truck.
Two ball bearings, and he slammed both of them on both sides of my head until, as again, witnesses said, my head thinned, it narrowed. That's how hard he slammed these two ball bearings, cracking both sides of my skull. Now, again, this was about a year after I'd had all of that skull surgery to put my head back into a sort of the shape that it was. It never really was put back into the proper shape because it would throw people off, and this would throw them off even more. After he jammed these two ball bearings, crushing my head, my eyes popped out, and my tongue came out. So you can imagine, I'm walking around with these two eyeballs hanging out in the tongue, and I'm going, people screamed. They ran out of the hotel. They were frightened to death. They were peeing themselves. It was some kind of a crazy story. Here's another George Jones. This is called "He Stopped Loving Her Today." Here at Gene Jabel. This is the Gene Jabel Country USA Show. Yeah. Hey, Gene Jabel here. Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. You're telling stories about having your face crushed and you're singing over top of the... I'm just asking you if you would have the common courtesy to shut up, just to shut up while we're hearing it.
Thanks so much for calling.
Yeah, right.
Went half crazy. George Jones right there, and he stopped loving her today here on the Gene Jabel Country USA Show. You know, I went to George one day and I said, George, you know, the music that you sing is good. I said, it's not bad, it's good. It's for what it is, it's good. And he said, well, who are you to tell me that? I said, well, I'm Gene Jabel, Country USA. He said, no, I know who you are, but who are you to tell me something like that? I said, well, a lot of the music that you sing, George, is sad. It might have it might be a product of your alcoholism. It might be a product of whatever drug abuse that you're involved in. And he said, who are you? How dare you say that? He was getting very, very angry. I said, look, George, you and I have been friends a long time. He said, no, we haven't been friends at all. He says, I just met you. You're a disc jockey at a radio station. I don't know you. I pretend to be friends with you because I want you to play my records, but I don't know you. I don't care to know you. I said, George, there you go again. I said, listen, the music you sing is so drag-ass, so derivative, it is so slow and so meaningless and so tedious. I feel it's the product of you drinking heavily and perhaps abusing prescription narcotics, you know? And he said, if you say one more word to me, so help me God, I'm going to stick your head under the cover of this baby grand piano, and I'm going to slam the hood of that thing down on your skull. Do you want that? I said, George, you know as well as I do, you wouldn't dare do anything like that. I'm Gene Jabel. I can make or break a punk like you because of the music that I play. It makes or breaks punks like you. Well, it turned out that George didn't do it himself. He nodded to a very tall man wearing all leather, sunglasses, a black leather hat, a black jacket, the whole black cowboy thing. And I said, ooh, looks like, who's this guy, man? The man with no name? Or say, he said, wouldn't you like to know? The guy literally grabbed me, folded me over at the waist. He was so strong, I felt like I was just a doll, just a rag doll. I couldn't do anything to resist. I couldn't do anything to help myself. He put my head near the piano strings, and he slammed the hood of the piano down on my head 5 times. I counted it. I felt it. But more to the point, I counted it. I went, one, bang, two, bang, three, bang. And I remember thinking, when will I stop counting? I stopped counting at 5. Now, later on, what did you say, Jerry?
Well, down about 10.
I stopped counting at 5, but the guys swear up and down, they swear to Christ Almighty, excuse my language, that he actually slammed that thing on my head 10 times. But when I pulled my head out from the piano, people screamed and began running because my head had thinned again. Now, this was the second time in as many weeks that I got my head slammed so hard that my head was now shaped more, what would you say, banana-like?
Yeah, I'd say that, boss.
My head was almost a banana shape because it had been slammed in, and my tongue and my eyeballs, again, sticking out. So imagine a man with a banana-shaped head walking around the ballroom of a major hotel, a major disc jockey with a ponytail, because why? Because I was honest? Because I said to this man what needed to be said? I said to him, George, your music drags ass. It's derivative. You ripped off Chuck Berry's Johnny B. Goode with White Lightning. And he said to me, guess what? You're going to have a banana-shaped head before the boat hits Venezuela.
Time I get to Phoenix.
Or Phoenix.
She'll be rising.
Boy, I'll tell you, one way of turning a bad thing into a good thing is
she'll find
the note I left hanging on her door. She'll ask me why my head is shaped banana-like. That's a little humor there, folks. Hey, this is the Gene Jabel Country USA Show.
Cause I've left that girl so many times before.
Gene Jabel Country USA, there is Glenn Campbell. Boy, that is a sad thing happened to Glenn Campbell, isn't it? Glenn Campbell, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, has been affected with Alzheimer's. And the Gene Jabel Alzheimer's Benefit Concert will be happening on Friday night. You know, we had our original kickoff supper last month to try to benefit some of our great country stars who are suffering from Alzheimer's. And I was up and I made a benefit, a little bit of a benefit kind of stand-up act there. I got up and talked to the assembled people and I said, hey, it's great to be with all of you folks. Hey, by the way, and I was talking to Terry Cummings, who'd been one of our producers. I said, Terry's mother suffers from Alzheimer's. The way he found out is he walked to the kitchen one day and she was there making soup out of her underwear. And I said, and you want to know something? Terry tells me it was pretty damn good compared to how she cooked when she had a functioning mind. Ha, ha, ha. And there was laughter, I think. No, sir. There people laughed, but Terry got up, and he had with him a bowl of wonton soup. And it was boiling hot. He took my hand and put it in the soup. And I went, well, it's not so hot that is going to bother me, Terry. He said, wait, I'm not done yet. He went back down to his plate on his table, and he picked up what looked to be one of those griddles that you put fajitas on. It was searing hot. I didn't know it at the time, but he dumped the fajitas on the floor and came up with a searing hot griddle and put my other hand on top of that. So I had one hand in boiling wonton soup, the other hand laying flat on a searing hot cast iron griddle. Now I screamed. I went, ah! Okay.
No, not that funny.
Well, it wasn't funny at the time, but I screamed. I went, ah, yeah, like that. As my mouth opened up and I began to scream, that's when Terry did the unthinkable. He pulled out his penis and right there in front of everybody, put it in my mouth. Are you ready for that? Man, I'll tell you, not only is that guts, that's creativity, that's style, and that is why Gene Jabel, Country USA, is one of the more interesting guys you're going to be meeting here on the old country tour. Here's more from Glenn Campbell, who has Alzheimer's.
I am a lineman for the county.
How he could remember that, I never know.
And I drive the main road.
Not very straight, though.
Searching in the sun for another overload.
Took him about 3 days. The sun had gone down twice.
You're singing in the wires.
Yeah, I'll bet you're hearing something singing in the wires.
I can hear you through the wires.
I can hear you through the wine. I'll bet you can. There's Glenn Campbell, I should say. I'm Gene Jabel. This is the Gene Jabel Country USA show here for this Wednesday, y'all. Yeah, the country lineman, he's still on the line. Not only is he still on the line, he's hanging from the line. And somebody get the clothes pegs off of him so we can take him in off the line where the wash is. Oh, yeah.
But it don't.
This is the Gene Jabel show. It's going to be right back.
Hi, everyone. Willie Hickson here. Don't forget the Willie Hickson Blues Parlor, sponsored by Gene Jabel's Country USA Show.
Hi, buddy. Gene Jabel, I'll be the host there at the Monkey Grinder event. The Monkey Grinder event there at the Willie Hickson Blues Parlor. Then I will be escorted from the club and not allowed to go back in until the main show is over with. I can go back in and get dessert and coffee, but they will escort me out to the parking lot. So if you want to talk, come on out to the parking lot. Hey, bring along something that's good to look at, okay? Maybe your old lady, maybe your daughter, something, so I can have something to look at instead of you. Thanks.
Willie Hickson here, the Blues Parlor. Come on out this Saturday night, Willie Hickson Blues Parlor. I play the banjo, play the flugelhorn, I play the French horn, all kind of horn, and Lena horn. I did play Lena horn until she found me out. I'd been a business manager, and I played her for about 10 years. That'd be roughly $10 million worth.
Willie Hickson, former business manager for Lena horn, now plays the French horn at the Willie Hickson Blues and Country Parlor in Nashville. Call now for reservations. Hi, Gene Jabel here. Willie, thank you so very, very much. We continue here on this, our Glenn Campbell section of the show. This is our Glenn Campbell section of the show, Gene Jabel, as we salute a great artist like Glenn Campbell and ask ourselves, how's this guy still doing it with Alzheimer's? Oh, he isn't. I mean, this is a recording. I kid around, folks. You know I'm Gene Jabel. I'm well known as the country humorist. I'm the country disc jockey who has the great sense of humor. And I remember saying to a good friend of Glenn Campbell's, his name was Dawson Hinsey, and Dawson had been in Glenn's band. I said, you know, Glenn's got Alzheimer's. He said, yeah, it's very, very sad. I said, I used a lot of those lines. I said, well, he was the Wichita lineman. How do you know he remember which line to, and that kind of thing? I'm going, ha, 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 ha. And that's when I felt that fist again. And I saw the fist coming, but I was still laughing because I was laughing at my own line. I said, how does he know which line he's working on? If he's the Wichita lineman or the Omaha lineman, how does he know he's not the Des Moines lineman, you know? And I went, ha, ha, ha. And my teeth were showing. Now, I saw Dawson's fist coming toward my teeth, but it was so funny, I couldn't stop laughing, even though I knew in about 2 seconds, 3 seconds, I would be in pain. I'd be in a lot of pain. It would hurt, and it would hurt bad. And I'd be tasting teeth. I'd be tasting blood. I'd be tasting teeth fragments. And yet I stayed with the laugh because that's how funny I think I am. I risked everything just to go, ha, 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 ha. And when you see a fist traveling at a pretty good clip, probably about 70 miles an hour, if that fist was clocked, that fist was doing 70, 80 miles an hour and hit my teeth running at a good 75, 80 miles an hour. But I could not stop laughing because I said, is it the Wichita lineman or the Des Moines lineman? How does he know he's got the Alzheimer's? And I went, hee, 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 hee. And that's when Dawson said, that's just too inviting a target. You and those yellow teeth. Everybody stand back. This is going to be fun. I heard the word fun. I saw the fist. I still couldn't stop laughing, but I did stop laughing when the fist impacted my teeth. I actually heard shattering. I did. I heard the breaking, what I thought was china, rare plates. Nope, it was my teeth. It was my upper bridge. Glenn Campbell, y'all, here on the Gene Jabel Show, Country USA, for this here Wednesday. Yeah, yeah, man.
It's knowing that your door is always open and your path is free to walk.
A good thing, because he'll go wandering out in the middle of the night. Somebody got to go get him.
That makes me tend to leave my sleeping bag rolled up and stashed behind your couch.
Is that where you left it? For sure? Because there's one behind my couch.
And it's knowing I'm not... not shackled by forgotten words and bonds and the ink stains that are dried upon some line.
Because he can't remember them.
That keeps you in the back roads by the rivers of my memory. It keeps you ever gentle on my mind.
Hey, well, here, Country USA, that's the great Glenn Campbell there with Country on My Mind. Gentle on My Mind is the name of the song. I got Country on My Mind. I got Glenn Campbell on my mind because there's a song. And I remember talking to one of the guys, a great songwriter by the name of Stinson Haney. You remember Stinson Haney?
Yeah, I do.
Stinson was a great country songwriter, and he and I were talking about the great John Stewart who wrote that song, Gentle on My Mind. Gentle on My Mind is a great song, but it's a song about garbage cans and fields and, junkyards and all that. And you're talking about a guy who is staggering through a junkyard, and he's got Alzheimer's. And I said to Stinson, I said, John Stewart must have seen the future or something when he wrote that song, and he gave it to Glenn Campbell. Glenn Campbell, of course, made it a great hit. I said, but he must have seen the future because you can see Glenn singing a song about staggering through a junkyard and stumbling down the side of a ravine and falling into a lady's house, left his sleeping bag there, probably scared the living hell out of her and her kids. And I said, what about you got Glenn Campbell staggering in? He's got the Alzheimer. And that's when Stinson said, it's called Alzheimer's. Don't be such a smart ass. I said, you know me. I said, I'm kidding. You know, I've got nothing but love in my heart, Stinson. And he said, so you say. And I said, well, I do. I got nothing but love in my heart. I don't understand how it is. Some guy is singing a song like that. And you're going to have a man singing a song like that. He suffers from the Alzheimer, whatever you want to call it. And he goes stumbling down the side of a ravine. He rolls out onto a freight train track or something. The train goes right over top of him. And you've got a mutilated old dead bum where once you had yourself a country singer. How does that work? How does that play? Who makes the decision to have that kind of thing? And Stinson said, excuse me for a minute, he put down a glass. He had a big, big highball. He had a G&T, a gin and tonic. And he put it down, and he picked up a big beer mug that I think was Bosley Brewer, right?
Yeah, Bosley loved a beer.
Bosley Brewer had a big beer stein. He said, pardon me. He put that down. He picked up the beer stein, and he wailed this into my face. That's the right side. He punched me with the left hand hitting the left of my face, so I was blinded by the shattering glass and the blood pouring down the right side of my face. I also felt my cheekbone get crushed by the left that Stinson had hit me with. And he grabbed me by the hair, my ponytail again, my much-abused ponytail. And that's when he pulled me down into his left knee. And I swear to God, I think I broke my nose in three places there. I also lost the upper row of teeth. That'd be the second time in as many weeks I lost the top bridge. So that was another bridge that was absolutely destroyed. He took my head, he lifted my head up, and then he drove it into the other knee. Now, this was a move I'd never seen a guy make, and frankly, I didn't even see the move because my face is getting driven into both knees, but he alternated knees. He went, drove my face into one knee, picked it up, drove my face to the other knee, and I guess at some point somebody put down another beer stein and started to play the piano. I think it was Bob Hosley, so he picked up that beer stein, and he drove my head down into the left knee, drove my head down to the right knee, then lifted my head up, smashed the beer mug across my face, and then drove it down to the other knee and the other knee. And I went back and forth like that. And I'll tell you, if ever a guy was going to make a point about not making some crack about Glenn Campbell with the Alzheimer or whatever it was, and a guy stumbling down the side of a ravine over across a railroad track, turning into some mutilated bum outside thing, man, he made that point, I'll tell you that. I'll tell you what, one thing about me, I'll never skip a rope again, not after that beating. Here's Henson Cargill, y'all.
Skip a rope.
Gene Jabel.
Skip a rope.
Country USA.
All listen to the children while they play.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That ain't kind of funny what the children say. Skip a rope.
Henson Cargill there. Skip a rope, y'all. That's a song about divorce.
Daddy hates mommy.
Mommy hates dad. Guess who's going to win that fight? Dad would be
last
too true.
Last night should have heard the fight they had.
I'll bet they did, man.
Gave little sister another bad dream.
But I tell you what, if you got a country song about divorce, the best divorce song I heard was Tammy Why Not, D-I-V-O-R. Well, I can't spell.
Skip a rope.
You know, divorce is terrible, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, listen
to the children while it sings, or it plays.
Is this Gene Jabel?
Yeah, it is. How you doing, buddy?
I wish you'd shut the hole under your nose so I could hear the music that you're playing, because I'm getting very angry at...
Thanks so much for calling.
Don't be a fool. Now, what was that they said about the golden rule? Skip a rope.
would never.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. I was entertaining our great veterans, and you know there's nobody in this country that has love is more loving and more appreciative of our veterans than Gene Jabel here in Country USA. And we go out once a year to our big veterans picnic, and Henson Cargill, of course, had come out the year before, and I remember that song, Skip a Rope. I was out there, and I saw a couple of our vets who were, you know, missing their legs, and I said, hey, you heard that song by Henson Cargill, Skip a Rope, right? So I said, I thought it'd be funny if we had a rope skipping contest with some of the vets that don't have legs. I didn't mean any offense by that. I certainly didn't mean to insult them or to embarrass them or anything. But one of the veterans that was there helping out came over and said, you know, did you really just ask those guys to skip rope and they only have, you know, no leg, and maybe one guy got a leg and one arm and everything? I said, yeah, I did. I said, you got a problem with that? I said, I'm sure these men have a good sense of humor, and I'm sure, well, while I'm trying to explain it and make sense to this guy, he was wiggling his finger like, why don't you come on over here for a second? And I walked over. He had the trunk of his car open, and there was rope, and there was a bag in there, and I think I saw a saw. And I felt a baseball bat hit me in the back of the head, and I was out. Everything blacked out, and I woke up, and I was inside a bag and tied at both ends with this rope. And the car stopped, and they opened it up. I felt myself getting rolled out of the back of this trunk. I was still inside the bag, and I felt baseball bats hitting me. Oh, it must have been 100, 200 hits of this baseball bat. And I died. I was dead. And then they cut me up, and they threw me into a river. And that's why you listen to this program here. This is the Jim Jabel Show here in Country USA. You're listening to this program mostly in a dream. You're in a sleeping state. You're in some kind of a state where this isn't reality. I'm dead. I'm dead. You understand? I'm dead. If I'm not dead, I ought to be. It's half the things that have happened to me. So I really do want to thank whoever's in charge of sticking me into the heads of people that are sleeping, because I know most of you falling asleep, and I don't know what time of day you're listening to this, but if you ain't asleep, you ought to be. By the way, here's the guy who put you to sleep. Jimmy, is this Jimmy Reed? Jimmy Reed's good. Well, Jimmy Reed's black. Jerry Reed's white. Yeah.
Had a big crap game going back in the alley, and I kept rolling.
Ginger Bell here, y'all. This is Country USA. Yeah.
My luck was so good, I could do no wrong. I just kept on rolling and controlling them bones. Finally, they just threw up their hand and said, when you hot, you hot.
Gene Jabel.
When you're hot, you're hot. And when you're not, you're not.
Put all the money in and let it roll with you. When you're hot, you're hot.
All right, we'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. This is Willie Hickson. Gene Jabel has got no taste. He's a no-count slob, a slime ball. He is the rudest motherfucker that I've ever heard in my life. I wouldn't have that son of a... I wouldn't have him clean the urn out after they cremate me, you know, and put me into a really good urn. I wouldn't give him that. I wouldn't give him that responsibility. He's a low-life, no-good, scum-sucking dog. And that's why he will be hosting the 16th annual Little Willie Hickson Blues and Country Parlor Monkey Show. Boy, nobody ever had a monkey put on him or a chimpanzee put on him like Gene Jabel. Check it out, Gene Jabel. He's going to be hosting the show this coming Saturday night at the Little Willie Hickson Blues and Country Parlor.
That's right, everybody. Gene Jabel right here, man. And I've had my kisser knocked in so many times, you'd swear to God you're looking at Mighty Joe Young. Gene Jabel, Country USA.
All right, y'all. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what. This has been a great, great time. I hope y'all enjoyed yourselves.
Gonna lock out here with Joe Nichols and Tequila Make Her Clothes Come
she
On.
She said, I'm going out with my girlfriend.
Well, I tell you what, when a husband's at home and he's watching the kids and the girls go out and they have themselves a big Friday night drinking them margaritas at the Holiday Inn, guess who the disc jockey is? You got to ask me, y'all. And I tell you, when I say those girls come home without their clothes, that is the truth. And that's when a husband come looking for me. And that's when generally what happens then, I get beaten up in a parking lot after everybody's gone home. There's maybe three or four people standing around to watch to see what happens to the smart-ass disc jockey as he gets a car door slammed on his head about six times. Then he gets his head bounced off the hood of the car. And then he gets run over, not by one, two, or three. He gets run over by about six or seven cars. Until he has to drag himself to a payphone because his cell phone is broken, drags himself to a payphone, fumbles around for coins because his hands are bloody, puts it up there and says, I need 911, I need emergency, I had my ass kicked because I was coming onto a bunch of guys' wives while they were stripping their clothes off in the bathroom, drinking tequila, having themselves a good time. This is just Gene Jabel, Country USA. I said, yeah. They said, you on your own. die, motherfucker, die.
It's gonna last too long.
Ginger Bell.
If the DJ puts Bon Jovi on.
Ginger Bell Country USA. Executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One.
Those fall off.
Yeah.
What? Can handle